Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Victoria for another fun-filled, exciting night of awesome topics of discussion. So tonight I wanted to talk about astral travel with the soul and also about being mindful and what that means. Just because our topic said I find a lot of people wonder about, because you hear about astral travel and how you could do it. So it's kind of like twofold. So I will explain that to you guys. I'm not sure how long today is going to be. It might be a short night for y'all, but we'll figure out how much I could get out without boring you too much. So just want to remind you all, don't forget to check out angelcoaches.org. It does have the tabs that have the blog, and then you have bios about me and all the other coaches. It's a really cool site. You can write comments if you want. I'll get them. We'll respond. It's going to be fabulous. So check it out whenever you get a moment, okay? So let's see. I'm going to talk about being mindful first because I think meditation has also a lot to do with astral travel and things of that sort, okay? So when I mean being mindful, I happen to fall upon a book that's out there that talks about being mindful. And as I was reading the book about it, you know, some of the key points, I was like, wait, they're talking about being mindful as like a means of meditation. So there's another word for being meditation with some added adaptions to it. So a lot of people, when you say meditate, I know me for one, I definitely thought this, you know, years ago when Teresa said you need to meditate, I'm like, oh my God, that sounds so complicated. I'm like, what am I going to do? I was like, am I going to do it right? You know, and I really was concerned about doing it right because I didn't want to, A, piss off some deity for whatever reason because I was doing it wrong or just not get, you know, the benefits from the effort. You know, I was just worried. I was like, am I going to do it right? I don't want to offend people. I don't want to be casual. You know, and then you look it up online and you're just like, okay, some people say you're supposed to have the sacred altar and burning this candle and this incense. And I'm just like, oh my God, that sounds so complicated. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't even know who I'm going to be talking to when I'm meditating. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. So, you know, I was talking to Tari the other day about meditations and stuff, and I realized that, you know, there's so much out there about it that it's almost confusing. And a couple of years ago, a couple being like a lot, like in mid-90s, I guess, I would say, I ended up taking a class on the Silva Method, you know, and who knew until now that it was actually a whole class on meditations and connecting with souls and higher selves and stuff. I had no idea. I took this class. I think my mother somehow convinced me to go. I don't know. I know it was with a lady named Ginger that I with. So at any rate, in this class, they taught you about meditation, you know, and I did this thing where we got into a meditative state, you know, where basically we're sitting upright, you know, breathing and counting down and visualizing. And we got into this place where I had a girl who was sitting across from me. So when I got in a meditative state, I visualized this girl in my laboratory, as we called it, visualized a place within my mind's eye. And then I had her, visualized her laying on the table. And I basically went from head to toe and I described what I saw in her body, you know, being like, you know, illnesses or injuries and stuff. And what's really cool is that in that meditative state, within that higher self, I was able to pinpoint issues in people's bodies. I was like, holy crap, that's cool. So I know I learned meditation a long time ago. I definitely probably never used it up until like a few years ago when I regained my spirituality and my quest for being closer to my soul self. So I know that was part of it. So it's called the Silva Method. And then I read this thing about the mindfulness. So I was like, all right, let's see. Well, how can I incorporate this so that y'all can understand how to meditate without having the fear of not doing it right, you know, and all that stuff? Because meditation is a great way to ground yourself. You know, if you're having a rough day and you want to clear your mind, you want to ground your energies back to where they should be after having such a challenging day. meditation is perfect to mention. Meditation is the gateway to be able to communicate with your angels, your spirit guides, you know, just discussing whatever is going on, even with, you know, people who have passed. I mean, you have the ability. It's like the gateway to your higher self, which is our goal, of course, as people who practice being connected to our soul, spirituality, whatever the name you would like to call it, the greater I am, metaphysics, whatever. You know, we want to be connected, because this way we make choices that are best for our soul versus what's best for our human self, you know, because that's our goal. We want to be close. So I figured the best way to talk about meditation is to define a couple things to make it clear. So when you're meditating, they say to get to a sacred place. What is a sacred place? Okay, the best way to tell you what a sacred place is a place where you feel comfortable, where you feel safe, where you know you can focus so you don't have distractions, and the place will become your sacred place, okay? So if you have a place, like for me, I like to meditate when I'm in bed, you know, laying down. I'm in my bedroom. My bedroom is my little safe haven where I sleep. I have good vibes. I don't watch TV in there or anything like that. So I meditate in my bedroom. So to me, that's my sacred place. For some, you know, some people can do it sitting up. You know, I've been in places where they say to sit up. You have your feet flat on the floor, your hands on your knees. Fine. You know, find a place where you can sit like that. Or you could do it Indian style on the floor if that works for you. But just find a place where you yourself can relax and let go of everything, you know, and feel like you could really connect with yourself. Okay, so find a nice place. And when you're laying down, okay, we want to quiet your mind. And I know I talk about quieting your mind so often, but it's so really, really, really important. And quieting your mind basically involves, like, visualizing, too. So as you're laying there or sitting up, whichever, however way you prefer to meditate, you start counting down, breathing in. So you're paying attention to your breath. So mindfulness, along with this meditation, talks about paying attention to your senses. So at this point, while you're laying in bed or sitting in a chair, however, whatever place you choose, you're going to just start breathing in and paying attention to your breath, how it feels coming in and out, feeling your heartbeat when you're doing it, you know, listening to, if you have a fan going on, just knowing that there's a fan going on, you know, feeling the quietness that you feel around you, the wind on your hairs of your arm, you know, and just being more attention, paying more attention to your senses. And then, God forbid, you know, if you start thinking, because, you know, mind likes to wander, and you start thinking about, you know, the day, or, oh, yeah, I heard that car before, and that car was like this person, oh, my God, and you start going off on a tangent with your mind, and you start thinking about stuff. That's when I usually take a whiteboard, I visualize a whiteboard in my mind's eye, and I picture the thought that I was thinking about, and then I take an eraser, and I just erase it. You know, and every time I have a thought that comes to my mind while I'm trying to quiet it, I erase it. You know, some people do erasing. Some people write on a piece of paper, write it, you know, fold it up, visualizing this, visualizing folding up their paper and putting it down. You know, whatever you can do to visualize thoughts to escape your mind so you don't think about it and so you become quiet. You have not a thing that you're thinking about except maybe saying, my feet, you know, the muscles in my feet are quiet. They're relaxed. You know, so those are the only thoughts that should be going through your mind, not, God, I wish I'm doing this right. And if that's the case, then you need to push the ego away, too, because the ego will come up and really be like, dude, you can't do this stuff. You know, and you don't want that negativity either. So you'll say, no, you know, and you push the ego away. You're not welcome here in this meditation. And then you go back to relaxing, finding your senses and stuff. And I usually go from feet to head, and I'm like, my toe muscles are relaxed, you know, and you start relaxing all your muscles, which is also helping you concentrate on your senses. So as you're going through, and my calf muscles are relaxed, I feel all the stress and, you know, tension released. And you start releasing tension, you're releasing muscles, relaxing everything all through your body. And you even do like your stomach, your chest, and then when you get to your face, my face muscles are relaxed. My cheek muscles, and you'll realize that how much tension you hold in your face, as you're doing this. And by the time you're done, you count down, and then it's all visualization from there. And then your intentions are always, you know, pure. So you're going into this meditation with the intention of communicating and getting answers for whatever questions you may have. And then you begin, you know, and it's very, very interesting to be able to do that, because you'll find that the answers that you have will come back as a conversation. You know, so how do I know? Like I asked a question once when I was meditating, how do I know why I'm so drawn to my friend Anthony? I said, why are we so drawn? Like, we're almost like BFFs. And the first thing I got back was, well, he was a farrier in a past life. Just like that, matter-of-factly. And I'm like, how would I ever think that? But I didn't think that. It was what they told me. So remember, you got to trust what you get in return, because you're going to get the messages. Now, if you get negative type answers, negative or less than soulful, I guess, or something. So if you're getting answers like, oh, you're not doing this right, or, you know, you and Anthony connect just because, or just stuff that you know that's more ego-driven, then you know your answer, your mind is thinking the answers versus listening to it. And I found that most of the answers I get when I ask them come back very quickly, you know, without hesitation. So that's one way you could try to meditate. And meditation is really just awesome, just to chill and calm your mind. And then when you're in the state, you could do some traveling, or you could ask to travel, or you could put the intention out there. Usually what has happened to me when I've done some astral traveling is that right before I go to bed, which is usually when I like to meditate and thank the, you know, the angels and the spirit guides and everybody else, you know, Odin, for being there for me during the day. I was grateful for all the lessons I've learned, good and bad. You know, I'm really grateful, and I usually end my day being extremely grateful for whatever happened during the day. And so that's when I start going into a meditative state, and I just kind of chill, and I do my, you know, conversations with them. And then I always end up closing it out with saying, yes, you know, tonight I would like to do some astral traveling. You know, and astral traveling is basically traveling to different dimensions within the spiritual world. You know, and in these dimensions, you can have where you go into the Akashic Records, like last week we talked about, or you could discuss with other souls who happen to be souls of people that you might be encountering currently and discuss with them issues that are going on, or you could see what you've done in your past life together. You know, things like that is where you do this traveling. You know, and I know before I've said about dreaming, you know, a lot of times dreams are more than what they appear, even if they're nightmarish, because some of the nightmarish dreams are really some gateway into a thought. And, yeah, psychology says that, you know, nightmares have some subconscious meaning to a thought or a personality or whatnot. And it's true to a point, you know. So spiritually, dreams are basically like you traveling somewhere, okay? Let's see, examples. I had a dream where I was sitting on a bench, and it was like a bench that you see at the mall. So it's like a flat bench, no sides, and I'm sitting there with my sister, my older sister, and for those who are new to me, I am not very friendly with my older sister at this point. It's been going on 5 years. We've had a family falling out because she has some karmic lessons that she needs to learn, long story short. And I'm not the cause of the problem. It's something within her. And so we're estranged, and it's really sucky because I adore my family, and I really hold family values very, very dear to me. And it could be because I was in the military and so I had to leave, and I wasn't around my family as much as I would like. So I really hold family very close to me. So one night I had a dream where I met her at this, and it appeared to be like a mall, right? But there wasn't stores, but there was many levels. So some malls, you know, you have the glass that is around the opening between the floors. So you can look down and you see like four floors down. You're like, oh, wow, look how far down. And it's glass. So it was kind of like that, but it was multiple levels, you know, and I was sitting with her on one of the levels and we're talking. And I told her, we had a discussion of something, and I remember telling her, I said, well, the reason why you have arthritis is because you're too judgmental. That is your indicator that you need to you know, stop being judgmental. And when you stop being judgmental, all of that, you know, arthritis pain will go away. And that was it. You know, and I was just like, so weird. I was like, so I've never drunk to my sister because, I mean, I don't like her. And that's my human self saying that. And so, you know, of course I talked to Dorit because I talked to her weekly and we went over this dream. I said, I had this dream. And I told her, she goes, you met her in a different dimension. I said, she said, you were talking from soul to soul to each other. She goes, that's really amazing. I'm like, no kidding. I said, all right, this is interesting, you know. And then I had a dream, which was really vivid, about me being in World War II. Now, I know Tree and I have talked a long time ago about some of my past lives, and I was in World War II. I just so happened to have a neighbor who's 94, who was part of the Army Air Corps in World War II. So he was in Normandy and stuff. And I have a huge feeling, and I have to ask the angels about this and do some more meditating on it, but I have a feeling that he and I were together during that time period, and that I died, clearly, and I got reincarnated into me. And so that's why when I see him, I feel a very close bond with him. I mean, really close. It's very odd because he's a 94-year-old man, but we, like, when I see him in real life, you know, talking to him about stuff, I just feel so close. Like, we've been buddies before. So I had a dream one time, and I think I traveled back in time with him because he was in my dream. But he was an old man. He was like he is today. And we were rummaging through, I would say, like, artifacts or stuff, you know, that we had along a fence line. And I remember I found a dagger with the initials MF, you know, and I was going through the stuff, and I said, oh, we need to keep this. And I remember turning with him and looking at this big grassy knoll, and there was a whole bunch of tanks out there. I don't know why, but there was a whole bunch of tanks just moving around. And I pointed to one. I said, that right there, the German Tiger tank, really scared the shit out of me. And I remember pointing that out to him. I was like, that's really weird. You know, so of course, you know, me and Trey talked about it. And I really, truly believe, and I'll get some more clarity on it because I do want to do some meditation, that he was with me in World War II. Because the clarity of the dream, the items that I found, the dagger, the descriptors, I did some research on some old daggers that they used to have in World War II, and it looked very similar to what I saw in my dream, just the same as obviously there was German Tiger tanks. And I've had previous dreams where it was me being within, like, villages. So I was in a village doing, like, running from, like, building to building, you know, afraid of being shot at, but running at building to building, crossing, like, stone bridges. I remember throwing grenades, but it was like a stick grenade. And I don't know if you guys know that, but like in Germany during that time, they had stick grenades. And I don't know if it was, I was on which side. Clearly, I think it was on the U.S. side, I don't think. But somehow I was throwing a stick grenade. I don't know why, but I was. And I've had that dream several times. And it's not that I've watched Band of Brothers or anything like that before I went to bed. But what I did do before I go to bed is I always ask the dream, to travel to different dimensions, you know. So there's different levels, you know, where you could learn great things, you know, and see people and talk to souls and have these encounters with these past life dreams where you can get more clarity on things. Or you go to lower dimensions, you know. And I had a couple times I had traveled to a place of lower dimension too, which, of course, I did not like. Because the entities in the lower dimension or the lower frequencies are not necessarily feeling very positive. And I remember there was, like, I dreamt of some girl. It felt like a female. And I was trying to relax or chill her out somehow. And I was placing my hand on her head, almost like kind of like a Reiki move in a sense. And it just kind of freaked her out. And she opened her mouth. And her face was kind of like, this is going to sound really weird, but her face, like, kind of separated in a grid pattern slightly, so there was a glowing green that would come out through the seams and through her mouth and her eyes. Yeah, really weird. And I knew it was freakish, but I didn't fear it, but it was definitely bizarre, you know. And I, you know, talked to Cherie about it, and she really told me that I went to a different dimension that wasn't a higher dimension, it was a lower dimension. I was like, well, that was clearly just way too bizarre for me, you know? And then I did have a dream where I went a lot further down, and the entity that I met with was just not a nice one. I didn't like it. It didn't make me feel good. And I remember simply saying in my dream, I do not wish to be here. I do not want to be encountering negativity and lower entities. And I don't want to be here. And I left. It was pretty quick. So when I go to bed, you know, and I do want to travel, when I talk to the angels, I say I want to travel to higher dimensions. You know, I don't want to encounter anything lower. And you're in charge of where you want to go. So you could totally, you know, while you're in your meditative state, if you do have to, you know, when you go to bed, and just ask that you want to travel, you want to go, you want to have more clarity, let's say, like I do. Like, I want to have more clarity about my past life in World War II. And you just, that's your intention you put out there, and you will go. You know, and sometimes when I ask, I probably go into a deep sleep and I really don't remember anything, and that's okay. You know, the dream will come or the travel will come and you'll just not realize it. You know, most of the time I'll travel and it might be just a fleeting second and I just don't remember it. You know, I know I did have travel to my Akashic records. I don't know. I couldn't recall the full dream. I should have written it down when I woke up, and I remembered I had something awesome that I went and experienced. But I had a dream between choosing one thing, which looked like a baby almost, or the other. And I just didn't, I don't remember what it really was about. I just remember it was a choice. I had to make a choice. And so, you know, when I talked to Tree about it, it was just like, yeah, that was, you probably went to your Akashic records, and that's what you were choosing. I was like, no kidding. I'm like, all right, we got to practice this. So in order to do the astral travel, you know, and to experience things with your past life, as well as, you know, traveling and talking to souls that you wish to talk to about soul planning stuff as well, or even learning about past lives, whatever the case may be, you know, the greatest thing to do is to practice on getting into a meditative state so that you could go to bed and learn to quiet yourself quickly before you go to bed. You'll pass out beautifully being able to shut your mind down. Because I know sometimes, you know, I go to bed and my mind's thinking about the day, or I relive all my horse riding adventures for the day. I'm like, I wish we did this, or I want to do this. And then you find yourself 45 minutes later still thinking about stuff. So what you want to do is be able to learn to quiet your mind, and meditation is a perfect way to do it. And just eliminating the thought, you know, and then you put your attention out there that you want to go travel, and you'll travel, you know, just be patient and be, you know, realize that it's always in divine timing for you to experience certain things like this. So, but we all have the ability to, so I want to reiterate that as well. So I'm going to conclude tonight's, talk about this. I'm hoping you guys will go out and try to practice, you know, getting into a meditative state so that, and it will become easier, you know, and you can visualize when you're in these meditative states, you can visualize healing people, you know. So, you know, just the same as, like, let's say you have someone who's ill, they have cancer of some sort, let's say cancer of the lungs, let's say. And so you visualize the person while you're in a meditative state, you visualize laying your hands on the person, you visualize healing energies of green, which is Archangel Raphael, you know, and the white divine light going through, and really, and it's all about visualization. When you visualize it in your meditative state, you're really doing it. You know, you're really putting that energy there. So meditation is just such a great way to do so many fabulous things. So when you become more versed at putting yourself in a meditative state, you don't have to spend so much time on chilling your mind out, relaxing, erasing things, or, you know, counting down. It'll just become more habit that you'll sit there and take a deep breath and just go right into your meditative state. And it will take less time at practice, okay? So try to practice it. See if you can do it. See how well your body reacts to it and how you can get so much interactions with, you know, the angels and then communicating, et cetera, and so forth. And check out, if you want, you can Google being mindful. There's a book out there about it. And really and truly, it's all about just being quiet, quieting your mind on your daily day and being able to get into a meditative state. You know, and so generally, if you're being mindful when you're walking around, you're paying attention more to your senses than you are to your thoughts. And that's where you are quieting yourself. You know, so your thoughts are suppressed and you're just feeling what the day is like. So being mindful is really awesome. So it's another way of saying meditation. It's another way of putting the quieting of your mind in there. So just check that out too. So practice meditation, look up mindfulness, and then, you know, try to astral travel. You'll be very surprised at what you get in return. So check that out, all right? So don't forget to check angelcoaches.org. I already made a post already for tonight, so you guys can check it out. Post, you know, put any comments you want. That would be awesome. I love hearing feedback because I love people, so it's all good. All right, so I will talk to you all next week, Thursday, 8 p.m., same time, same bat channel, and I hope you have a wonderful, fabulous night, okay? Take care. Have a great now. Bye.